Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
It's changed now. I think
No. You asked for this. You demanded this space, Nick. So, right, hello everyone. It's Red News. Excuse me. Let me do the intro before you go off on one. Right, it's Red News Podcast 107. And open the pubs. Oh God, please close the pubs again. I went out yesterday and silly old sod got giddy. Oh, I've forgotten what pub hangovers are like. Why is outdoor drinking, like socialising in a pub, worse than when you're at home, I suppose? Oh, God. So today has been a long day. We've already lost the fallen. We've already lost one soldier. Ben has gone down because he went out too. So we just can't handle it if we've got kids and we're old. Right, so we were going to just talk about a perfunctory win, which is what a lot are these days, and we'll get into that later. But don't title winning sides get a lot of perfunctory wins, is that the right word, in a season? So as long as the end result, and considering we've had 6 years of absolute fodder versus Burnley at home, it was just nice to get it out of the system. And it did make me think, like I tweeted, the difference from that January gloom when we lost 2-0 at home to them to today, where you think, no, you know, stop, let's stop endlessly going over the progress, no progress debate, because it's put to bed for now. And then that gets replaced by the European Super League shite. And I'll admit, I'm an addict of United. You know, if I was going to walk away, it would have been 2005. I hate what the owners do. I cannot stand anything that Ed Woodward is associated with. I think he's just a poisonous character on the club for the name of greed, not the name of Manchester United. For me, United is about the fans, and I can't walk away. But there is a point where you think with this, you know, the whole conception of no promotion, no relegation, chosen clubs, not done on competition. It's just awful, but it's befitting of our owners. You know, that they're trying for the tournament that they deserve, really, that is deserving of their ownership. I think it's a test the waters, leak a story. UEFA are going to make an announcement tomorrow. I think it's pushing UEFA in a way to say, hang on, we'll have a renegotiation at the last minute. How much more money do you want? And it's all just, you know, 10 European home games, automatic cup scheme, hell. It's just wrong. And the only positive was everyone coming out against it. So, you know, you're testing the water and it got... But football's rotten. And it just saddens me that United's name that stood for so much, you know, and especially Busby... trailblazing in Europe, and you can just bastardise it like it does. But we'll get into that. I did promise. I thought, right, listening back to last week, because I always have to take a coggy edit out when he said something. I listened back, and I wasn't expecting the squabbling that we had, because we were all happy. And I'm going to stand my ground with Nick, because I think we all agreed with him. I even said, I think we're going to win the Europa. We're not Ollie out. We're just, some of us are sometimes saying, let's see where we are in a year. So we're saying, you know, like, give him the contract extension. But I think Nick is quite on the defensive about Ollie when there's any sort of conversation. So I've promised Nick, who felt he was hard done by some of my piss taking and Shane about Royal Correspondence, I'm going to go to you, Nick. Come on, lead on.
Back to it last week, and I was sat there, and I have to admit, I did laugh throughout it. I definitely had a few beers, and then moved on to the gym and got a little bit giddy after the Spurs game. But I still stand by what I said. My point being, what I was trying to get across last week, and really before you started talking over me like some sort of senile Jeremy Paxman, was basically me trying to say, well, I don't really get the. Any of the doubts, you know, I just think that everything at the moment, Man United, as far as I'm concerned, I know we crashed out of the Champions League and that was disappointing. You know, I know the FA Cup was a massive disappointment, and believe me, I won't get over that Leicester game anytime soon. But, you know, I still think this is a man who's learning on the job. And I look at the performance again today, and, you know, I don't think it was necessarily the greatest performance in the world. But, you know, Ole does do a lot of stuff right. You know, I think realistically where we're at the moment as a squad, and again, I know we're moving to the Super League stuff in a little bit, but where we're at the moment as a squad, I genuinely think that people are quick to forget that when come January, February time, we were top of the league with Pogba in there at the moment. I think that you took him out of the squad, he gets a few niggles, gets a few injuries. You know, we start to fall off the boil. You know, if we had him in a game for 90 minutes against Everton, you know, where we went on and threw it away in the last minute, if you have him in the game against West Brom, where we ended up drawing and stuff, it's these little games where I think, you know, someone like that just closes that 8-point gap for us, between us and City at the moment. You know, Solskjaer's in a very difficult situation where we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I know people don't like to use that as an excuse, but it still is part and parcel of one of the reasons why we didn't go out and buy Sancho. I'd be very interested to hear, when I finish going on with myself, who here doesn't think that Sancho wouldn't have got us 8 more extra points so far this year? Because I genuinely think that he would have done that. Seeing what he's done at Dortmund again, I think he's the answer to what we're looking for at the moment. Amongst other things, I know we can still improve at the back, and, you know, keeper's still a bit of an argument and stuff at the moment, you know, centre midfielder, whatever. But I still think he would get us 8 more points. And I think if you've got him and you've got a fit Pogba, I think we win the league this year. And I know you might say that's a little bit giddy or whatever, but I think there's those fine margins that go on to make a difference for us. And this is why I'm saying to us, I don't understand what the doubt is about. I think he's been a victim of bad timing. He's been a little bit unlucky. You know, me and Nathan were there for the last game at Anfield away under Mourinho, and I just remember feeling so despondent on the walk back to the train. And I've never felt like that watching Man United in all right, it might only be 32 or whatever, but I remember feeling so despondent. I know we've been very spoiled and very lucky. But then to have a week later to feel that change with Ole, to go on to that bounce, you know, for him to suffer that defeat against Leicester in the FA Cup, to then come back and win the next 4 or 5 games on the bounce. We've had this reaction. We've got the right man in charge at the moment, and I can't fathom why anyone wants to be negative about it, wants to question it or whatever. He's learning on the job. He's doing a very good job of learning on the job. I look at Fred getting sent off in the Champions League against PSG earlier on this season. He took Pogba off for the same reason against Granada. He's managing it. I bet someone in here might mention the fact that he played Bruno on Thursday night, for example, against Granada. I think, well, it's a dead rubber. We've won 2-0. We're already going to go through. But he's missing Maguire as a leader. Plays Bruno out there. He's very cautious. He's learning on this job. He's not going to get everything right, and I get that, you know, and he's made two big fuck-ups by going out of the Champions League and losing to Leicester, but I still think that that was a good sign of it. One of the things that I want to mention as well from what you said last week, Barney, was when we were talking about style of play, and it was I was grinning like a Cheshire cat after the Granada game, because Bruno got interviewed, and I don't know if anyone saw it, and he said, and I wrote it down because it annoyed me that much on Thursday night, and the interviewer asked him, and he said, "To be honest, it's quite tough at the moment to adapt to whoever's up front. One week we've got Eddie, one week we've got Mason, and one week we've got Marcus. And they all, each person has very different strengths and weaknesses. And for him and for the rest of the team, we keep trying to adapt to what we are. We're not managing to find any of that cohesion where we've got that set people up front. And we're still getting results out of it at the moment. And I still think that that is a credit to all. Like, you know, it might always be the best football at times, but this squad is moving in the right direction where we're still almost playing, and he's operating with one hand tied behind his back considering the owners. So, you know, I'm still pleased about the progress that this is going on. That's basically what I'm saying. I don't understand and I don't massively get the doubts as much as what people do out there, because I'm very much an optimist when it comes to Man United. And as I said before, being a Man United fan is, you know, and supporting Man United is far better than, you know, supporting anything else, you know, certainly anything else that's out there. I've got so many friends that I work with that, you know, Blackburn fans and stuff, and, you know, it really is tough times for Blackburn, you know, and other clubs like that, where we're in a very fortunate position that we're moaning at second in the league. You know, we're only 8 points behind City. We've got 6 games to go in the league season, and we've equaled the same amount of points today. And today as well, I want to throw this in there as an extra bonus point for Ole, is that it's been 45 years since we've not done the double over Burnley. And Ole comes in and finally we've done the double over Burnley. I mean, there's just point, there's just, you know, positive, right, positive points.
That was a party political broadcast by the Nick party. So, right. There he goes, swigging his cans, about to shadow box us again. Who's up for a fight? No, I don't think anyone's disagreeing with you, but what did me and Coggy, I think, were the main ones saying last week? Win a trophy, then back it up. We're not we say there's progress. We say that he's learned things like his substitution. Substitution today, what I'd like to see him do is learn it completely, where you don't need two defensive midfielders, you know. So I just think the nuance is, it's not Ollie in or Ollie out, as I keep saying it. It's just saying, you know, win a trophy this season, and I think we will. And then you do that, and the whole mood of the club. But I will, you're right, what Ollie spoke, it might have been before the game on Thursday, and he said, "What's your big regret, or what do you ponder the most looking back at this season?" And he said, it is the lack of pre-season. in terms of style of play. And he actually said this, so maybe Ollie's listening to the podcast, but he said, because I haven't been able to try a style of play where I can just try it since West Brom, just, I think it was just before lockdown, you know, when it restarted, where I could just risk a completely new style of play to see how it went. And there's no damage, you know, there would be no consequences. And he said, we have not been able to, because you need 2 or 3 days to try it. And we've been playing every 2 or 3 days. So I love it when Ollie speaks like that, because it's not the PE teacher. It's not the, you know, the clueless football manager. It's someone who's identifying, he wants to try new styles of play. And I'd love next season to see that, to not have this almost formulaic home. I think our home form is down to almost, we've got a set way of playing and formation that sometimes lets us down. And, you know, today, maybe it's not even worth, there were defensive worries, which we've had all season. I'd say Henderson was daft today. He sort of grew back into the game, but these are why I want to see him play every league game, because let's see how you respond, because you were doing really daft things you can't get away with at United, and you did. You managed to avoid it, but, you know, in the limelight. So, I'm not disagreeing with you, Nick, but I think we could go, you know, people fucking be, shut up, the pair of you. But I don't think I just don't think, if you listen back to us, what we're saying, we're not disagreeing with you, we're just giving nuances. And I think, win the Europa. And I really do. Right, so who wants to go next?
I think he's getting that. That's what I'm saying. I think he's getting that. And, you know, the two holding midfielder things, you know, you look at that today and, you know, he changed that in the second half.
Yeah, but
you
know, it should, for me,
you know, I still think there's that element of learning on the job, and I think that he's getting it. And I think that next year, and I will, you know, you can quote me on this. Next year, I genuinely think we really should be properly competing for the title. And if we're not, I will be pissed off. You know, because that's the kind of natural progression that we've gone through now. So we need to make sure that we're there next season. And if there is a fucking Premier League next year, whatever. But if there is a Premier League next year, you know, we should really be competing for that title. And if we're not, then I will be pissed off with Ole for that.
That's where I have a little bit of the wobbles. You know, fantastic. Never thought we'd be this far ahead of Liverpool. Never thought we'd be this close to City. But that is my wobble. But I will say a couple of things before. Sorry. So we had it a gossip in the mag, but I'm told by a lad at United, we are definitely got Trippier on the list. Not saying he's, you know, number one in folly, but Trippier. And I wouldn't, you know, if you're Glazonomics, that makes a lot of sense. He's a very good fullback, very good going forward. Will put pressure on Wan-Bissaka, play a lot of games. And I think that he wants to come back. I think that would be great. The hypocrisy, though, you've got to laugh. The ranting on, Nev was spot on today, so I'm not disputing that. But Sky proclaiming themselves as these fucking freedom fighters for the greed of modern football. Who the fuck are you trying to kid? There was so much hypocrisy going on. Right, so who wants to go next? Nathan?
Yeah, I feel like bloody, what's it from The Godfather at the moment? It's like, I'm starting to bloody, what's the quote? What's the quote?
Every time you think you're out.
I feel like I'm being pulled back in every time. There's always like, you know, things are starting to get good and it's like we're seeing positives and then something like all this comes back and you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake, not again. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like the football's looking good, like we said about, he's making substitutions earlier. That was something that we were moaning about. Like, we've moaned about repeatedly. But then today, obviously, we needed a change and he made it straight away at half-time. It's like Nick says, if that's learning on the job, then it's paying off and it's working. And today it made a difference and we've won a game. But then it's just, like say, we're getting pulled down by it all, the sour taste that's being left by all this other news that's, you know, the fact that it was, like Neville said during the game, the fact that it's coming out not just mid-season, but apparently mid-game. Yeah. Like, I'd not seen it until they all started mentioning it. It's just, it's just frustrating, really, isn't it?
It's like, just polluted. I mean,
we start finally, like, you know, feeling optimistic about stuff, and then something like this comes along, and it's just like.
But I've long since separated, you know, as I've said many times, from the football club, from the club that Woodward and Arnold and that and the Glazers represent has nothing to do with me. They're just a poison on us. But this is, you know, like, there's no surprise at all. It's just in a way that they've not tried to manoeuvre it earlier, and they'll try and do, you know, pandemic and the good of the game.
I mean, the one thing we have, like, I've got one of my housemates who's a Liverpool fan. I've got a mate who's a City fan, and literally, there's no one that thinks that this is a good idea. From, you know, that they both said that they'd. Mm. Essentially, like I've said, I'd consider whether I'd carry on going.
Yeah, I think a lot of,
and they're saying exactly the same thing. So it's sort of, I don't know if it'll realistically could happen. Whether it's just a, you know, a show of power wanting to get something better, like especially with the likes of like FIFA and UEFA saying about players not being able to play in their tournaments.
Yeah,
like can you imagine players giving up on being? Like, I know that. Giving up on going to the World Cup and stuff, like that's, I just don't see it. Yeah. Like, they're the things that really like leave your like winning a World Cup is.
Yeah,
most players surely see that as being far, far bigger than anything else.
Well, I'd like to see them all.
The idea of players giving up on that. It's just,
I'd like to see them all come out, actual players. You know, Fergie, fair play tonight. I wish he'd done it in 2004-05 with the Glazers, but he's come out, which is a right. I mean, that's a powerful message when he's part of the football board. But I will say on the subs thing, where sometimes I think we overanalyze everything. I read this week, we've got the most subs who've scored in the league this season. So that is interesting when we've been critical. You think maybe we're over-obsessed about the minute and forget that over the course of the season, it will reveal the bigger picture. And I will say, I know they have dodgy sponsors, but fair play to Bayern Munich to fucking say, make a stand already and say, I'm not having any of this fucking nonsense. If only our club was run like that. Right, sorry, Coggy and then Shane.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of points that's been raised previously about Ollie learning on the job. I know where you're coming from, but you know, if you're learning on the job, you should have had a stronger backroom staff, I think, to help you or to help compensate you learning on the job. And I think this is probably one of the failings of the Solskjaer regime. And I know that he brought feeling in, but I think having Carrick and the other guy, McKenna, I think if he'd have brought in a bit more experience, we may be further ahead than we are now. I thought the substitution today was great. So you know, I spoke to somebody at half time and said we need to bring Cavani on, and we did, and he made a difference. But I sat for most of that game thinking, how have we gone from watching the second half against Tottenham to this again? And it may be all part of the learning curve and the development of the squad, but that squad, Nick, will not compete against City and Liverpool next season for the title. I know where you're coming from, but we need two or three major additions for that squad to actually compete for the league. But we are moving in the right direction, you know, but I just think we're two or three brilliant players short. And I know you also, people saying, yeah, but if we'd have beat Sheffield United and West Brom, we had Sancho, you know, City can say the same. They can say, if we hadn't lost to United or we hadn't lost to a 10-man lead, we'd be 14 points, 16 points in front of them. So to a certain extent, I don't buy into that, because every club can give a reason why they're not where, you know, they're not doing better than they actually are. But we are moving in the right direction. I still think Ollie's the man. But I've said it the last few times, it comes down to some acquisitions for me. And if we get those wrong, we won't be competing for the league next season.
And winning the Europa, don't you think, Coggy? You know, we'll be gutted if we don't. After yeah, now, I mean, flirting with the devil, you know, do we
I
mean, want
I,
it?
I think I'm a realist. My son thinks I'm a pessimist. But, you know, I'm less confident about getting past Roma. I want to against Ajax. I've just got this niggling thing about Zeko and bloody
Mkhitaryan
against the blue bastard. But, yeah, I mean, if we get to the final, I think we'll win it. I'm not as confident as beating Roma as some of you guys are, but if we win the Europa League and finish second, it's been a particularly good season for us, I think.
But I do not want to play Arsenal in the final. That gives me angst. They're so poor that it just, oh, that worries me. But I had this nightmare vision of Mkhitaryan finally doing something at Old Trafford, but hopefully put that bed. Sorry, hello, Shane. How are you, Shane? You went to a pub as well.
I did, yeah, and I must admit, yeah, I've been to a pub twice. I'm not going to comment too much on Thursday's night performance because I did kind of vaguely see it, but I was more interested in gazing at my Guinness than the football. But, yeah, I kind of think I'm a bit split between Nick and Cogni, really. I know I'm firmly in the Ole camp, as you know. But I think, yeah, I agree with Cogni that you can't really look back and say, we'd won this. We didn't, that's the end of it, and we didn't win them because we weren't good enough. But I agree with Nick, and I think I sounded a bit smug. I said at the time that when Pogba got injured, he was starting to hit form, and we were in form, and I think he was a big loss. So I think that did definitely cost us points. So I'm with Nick on that one. I thought, like, today wasn't, obviously, a dull game, but you know, look at the third goal, and I think of late our attacking plays improved, and we've been scoring some good goals with good build-up. And I think, you know, again, it's quite a cheap shot in the media that they, you know, Ole can't coach attacking football. We've got no plan. I think it's nonsense. We've got decent players who can pass all around. So I think, yeah, there's improvement to see all around. I'm with Nick. I think if you can't see the progress, second in the league, comfortably second in the league, that's got to be a big step forward. Obviously, defensively, you know, it's a bit, you know, Henderson was a bit of a concern today. He seemed to sort of believe his own hype a bit today. I'm steaming out the box. He looked like in the Perry Enfield lad, didn't he? It's like Kevin Perry with that cap. Jeez, like, I thought at half time, you know, they sort of sent a doppelganger out or something to make it happen. He failed a drugs test. They sent out one of the player's teenage sons or something. It's back there. But anyway, it was a good win, comfortable win in the end, left it late. But I agree with you, Barney, the European Super League. I think it's a load of hot air just to kind of like, clearly UEFA are about to announce something for this expansion of the Champions League. The top clubs are not liking what they're getting out of it, so they're sort of kicking off. I think it's just posturing. But as much as I don't like it, you kind of like, it's a bit cheap of the FA to come out, or, you know, the Premier League to come out and talk about this, you know, so they've got the high and mighty. They're the ones that have overseen all these owners in the game taking over these clubs. And, you know, if you let these people take over the clubs, this is what you get in return.
Yeah.
And my final thought is that Jeff Shreen, I've never liked him. Was it Ivanovic? He notified. You remember the
Chelsea
got Jeff? He was the one who told him he was suspended for the final. I've never liked him. And I watched him today in the view, Ollie, and he's like my kind of, he's the equivalent of a Royal correspondent in the football world. He'd make, if I wouldn't be surprised to see him pop up as a Royal correspondent when football gets sick of him and kicks him out. He annoys me and meant like,
do you know,
interviewing away like that today.
He's like Terry Wogan, Eamon Holmes, that I think they wear corsets to hide their even bigger expanding gut than they've already got. Yeah. That I have this visions of.
Yeah, I might need one of them. I was on a kind of like a team meeting where my kind of like, I actually went to work, which was a bit giddy. I went into the office the first time in 13 months. But I was on a conference call where you could see my whole kind of torso, and I was like, fuck me, is this not a good sight?
Shane, are you sure that was a conference call or was it Dirty Dan again?
What,
you were dancing in a toilet, weren't you? You sent a video.
I know I take things a bit off piece with the football, but another question for this is, why the fuck are we having this? Are we waiting for call the midwife to finish? Just like, we have it when Line of Duty is on, but what, like, are all of you watching call the midwife or something?
Don't get me started. You know the rows I have with Grandma on Christmas Day. You're not watching fucking... I couldn't think... I'll tell you what, instead, if Guantanamo Bay, if they just put... The worst thing they could have ever done was just put Call Midwife on loop. But I thought Dean Henderson, when he did it at half-time, I thought it's Dickie Arnold going, look, everyone's Googling Manchester United, put a fucking cap on and we'll start selling it for 20 quid more. Right, but Nathan, you made a good point in the WhatsApp group, didn't you, about the Glazers and why they'd obviously desperate for the Super League?
I just think it
sums up their no ambition,
essentially. And, you know, it's quite obvious that, you know, the teams, I think it's quite telling that the likes that, although City were the in the six, they were the last ones to sort of agree to it. And the fact that PSG haven't agreed to it, I think it just shows it's teams that are desperate for money. And, like,
like, imagine being an Arsenal fan, and well, not a fan, but being in the Arsenal hierarchy, and you're being offered to be in this thing that you're just in permanently.
Yeah.
They're going to go for it, aren't you? Because it, like, the likes of Arsenal and us under the Glazers, it, at the moment, it's all about top four. It's all about top four, and whether they're really asked about actually winning anything on the side of that can be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're being offered the chance to be in this extra thing that, well, this other thing that is essentially that every year, with no chance of being relegated out of it, of course you're going to go for it, because you're being handed on a platter the thing that you're aiming for every year without even having to try.
Yeah.
To me, and that's why, because with City and PSG, they don't need the money because of their owners, whether that's right or wrong. So I can sort of understand why they don't want to be involved in it, because of...
Yeah, it comes to that ambition. If you've actually got ambition...
Spurs, Arsenal, to win, going to jump on it all over.
Yeah.
And it's like you say, it's the owners being American for us, and like the likes of Liverpool, etc. It is essentially making a franchise.
Yeah.
That's the setup, isn't it? So obviously they're going to want to do that sort of thing, because that's what they do back home.
It's so disheartening. I can see... Oh,
that's what I mean. It's just... It's sad.
I can understand why people do say, you know, I've just had enough with everything. VAR, this. And you think whether they pull back from the brink, the 39th game, this talk is increasing and increasing. And, you know, like the way that they talk, that they're embracing the global fans. And I think, like, there's a difference, because I think listeners, readers would know that I'm obviously, from where I am, proud of our out-of-town and global, the real global support that we have. But this feeding for, you know, like a frenzy of the generation who just want to flick on United and aren't even bothered that, you know, they'll support eight clubs that day. There's one point I'm going to make on this. Like I say, I was always astounded in the 80s starting fanzine, meeting people like there's Henrik and Lars from Scandinavia. You know, they've been going since the 70s and the 80s, and people have been making these fantastic journeys. And we were talking on Twitter that there was a couple, Miss Ellen Stewart and her daughter Vina. And they started the coaches, which were inspirational, really, for a lot of Cockney Reds starting to go and travel that way. And I found a thing in David Meek's column in 1970 saying they started making the round trip every game to Old Trafford from West Grinstead since 1956. So it puts a tag on the glory hunters, you know. So yeah. I'm immensely proud. But when you think that they're not doing it for the reasons of those people, the good people, you know, all of us who care about United so passionately. And United stands for something for me, and it is the fans. And it's just horrible. And the very last thing, the official, the sub-campaign opens on Tuesday. We're 34 years old. Thank you. And this is really emotional, because I know everyone's struggling this year. So I thought, I know I've said it, you know, can we carry on for season by season with this campaign? So I sent out to all the people who've ordered the mag in the past, and we're already, the target's 334, and as of now, we're over 200. It will be officially, you're keeping the mag going for another year. So it just, and I want to be back, we all want to be back selling it in person, but I still think next season will be... But I cannot say it how moving. And almost, you know, we're not, the club don't talk to us, but it's almost like things like this make the fanzine more important than ever, because I still believe we give a voice to the disaffected and the disenchanted and the disenfranchised and the people who are treated like shit and ignored. And we'll keep kicking at these twats who ruin our game. So, but just incredible. Right. So you'll be able to see the campaign on Twitter if you've not heard of it, but if you can get us over, I mean, if we get over before the deadline of July, it'll just be very humbling. And I know, like, Coggy and Shane support the mag in various ways, but Nick and Nathan stand out in all weathers, and they're lovely lads, apart from when he's a twat disagreeing with me.
Nick. Yeah, I won't go that far about Barney, but I get you just.
And they
did we disagree with you?
No, but they've already said, you know, can't wait to sell. Nathan's offered to sell if there's even fucking 1,000 people at the ground, and it just means the world. So, right, who wants to talk shit next?
I,
I'm still getting over the fact that Nathan said the football's looking up. That was the first thing that he said. I was like, I wrote it down. I was like, Nathan said football's looking up. Oh, I screen grabbed that. That's quite nice. Just one of the points that he mentioned about Kieran McKenna. I don't know if you know this, but I actually know one of the former Man United scouts from the early noughties who worked very closely with Kieran McKenna. He's my director's brother. He was instrumental in finding Rashford, Greenwood, Lingard, and so on and so on. I tried to get an interview for the mag a few times, but he knows, but he's not one for sitting down. He's now at City doing the scouting for them. And he always slagged off Kieran McKenna, always slagged him off. You know, he always said that he was never good enough. He was always one of those that was piggybacking on other people's success. It was very much like, you know, he had good mates and good connections, and that's where he got to where he was. So I don't know if that's anything, you know, to maybe make note of on the side. One of the things that you mentioned about winning the Europa League, though, and, you know, you said, you know, if we get into the final, I think we'll win it. I feel the other way around, because I feel like over two legs, I feel like we could beat anybody. I really do. But I feel like over a one-off game, I feel a little bit more nervy about it. You know, that's why I wasn't as confident when we played Sevilla last year in the Europa League, you know, in the semis. I think over two legs, I feel like we could probably do a good job against most teams, really. You know, I look at City, you know, so far this year, you know, Liverpool, you know, these kind of games, I do see us winning over two legs. But yeah, like in a one-off game, I do feel a bit nervy. You know, and obviously we've got Arsenal in the final. We've played them twice this year. We've not fucking scored against them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that concerns me in the back of my mind. It just still sticks away. I just want to ask you about it. What's worse for a goalkeeper, short sleeves or a cap?
I don't mind short sleeves. And
that's
caps,
the lie,
caps
said
can
the
be.
You said Romero makes you uneasy when he wears. No. This is what I mean. You're coming a hypocrite now in your older age.
No, listen.
You slag Romero off.
No, do you know why I slagged Romero off? Do you know why I slagged Romero off? Because he's got big hands, and his hands freak me out. They're massive hands. If you look at the photos of his hands.
That's good for a goalkeeper.
So
I think that, but Barney doesn't think that. His brain doesn't process it in that way.
I think
like
what we're
going to... senile Paxman now.
Listen, what we've got to bear in mind is Nick has kept that little nugget of what you said about Romero for 2 years stashed away. And when Henderson came out with a capital, fucking Christ, I can have Barney tonight.
If you've listed everything I've ever had a fucking moan about, Nick, there will be here a very long time at matches. It's usually you and Steve and Nathan. So,
if we're talking about football now, you've kind of lost the fucking moral high ground there, Barney, if you compete with Nick, because basically now you've just let on, if you were scout at Man United, you'd be scouting lip-handed.
No, if you have a look at the photos, they're just too, they're disproportionate to the rest of his body.
Don't be googling. Barney would pick Warwick Davis, wouldn't he? Our next goalkeeper.
Coggy. You had to do it. We'd waited 32 minutes.
There's nothing wrong with that. You haven't got to edit that out.
Move on. I think it's the Guinness talking. So, Shane, tell me why you were dancing in a toilet to strobe lighting.
Well, I went for a day in the office, and the young ones at work persuaded me to go for a couple of jars. And it's a bit of a quirky pub, but in the toilet they have like disco toilets, so you'd have to go in one way system, obviously, to go to the toilet. And I went in there, and there was music and strobe lighting in the toilets. It got me giddy. Yeah. It made me feel like we were.
I'd be like the early doors bloke, too gimmicky, fuck all that. I just want to have a piss. No. I don't want gimmicks in a toilet.
But then, I just think this week, generally, like, I know it's a football podcast, but it's been nice just to kind of be able to sit in the bin, some sense of normality, and just be in the presence of other people, other human beings. It's been lovely, I think, this week. And the other, you know, it's my wife's birthday, so we were lucky, you know, we'd go out to the pub and have a couple of drinks. She could see other people, you know. We'd have some friends around. So, yeah, it's been a good week. Yeah, I've had a chance bumping into Paul or Ed we know just out shopping the other day. And just those little things might be, you know, bumping into someone you know.
Yeah, but I said...
It would be nothing in the normal scheme of life, but, you know, it may be... You know, it's just lovely to see people.
The worrying thing is, it shows what United does to a person. He looks 10 years younger without the pain of United and the train journeys and the beer. It was like, Jesus Christ, who are you, PB? But we went to the zoo on Monday, and it just felt, I did, it was, I was so giddy, like fucking, you know, like the night before a holiday, to do something and to see happy people. And my missus did, it just feels nice to see other people apart from you. I thought, that's fair enough. You've put up with me for 6 months. Like, go on, yeah. Coggy, sorry, were you going to say something?
Yeah, but I just said to my wife, it's her birthday, and she took the day off. And she said, "Don't you bother take the day off. I'm going to see other people."
Well, this is, so the hope is, you know, like Europa, well, I'll get to Nathan, sorry, in a minute, but the Europa that I'm going to watch the semi with some mates, and you think the final we can be together, it's not going to be ideal, hopefully get through, but to actually spend time. So what was it like, Nathan, watching the game with Ben and Mark?
Oh, it was great. It was a good little setup. We went to O'Shea's in town. I've got like a temporary like beer garden thing just out. Just past Piccadilly, next to the Mancunian Way. So we've booked there. We've already booked for both semis as well. So Nick will be able to come for that as well. But it was the only thing that we said was there was just no commentary. It was just music. But other than that, it was obviously brilliant.
Yeah, but that's not considering it's been
with people. You know, like obviously, yeah. like the other week, I've watched games with Nick or whatever in back garden or whatever, you know, but I've not sat and watched a game with mates properly for over a year, so that it was nice.
No, we'll have to do that, Shane, if we get to the final. We just think that it will be fantastic.
I'll be honest with you, Nathan, if it's a choice between listening to Robbie Savage and music, I know what I'd go for.
I did think that at the time, like,
but here's
I've got a question
for you all.
I made a promise to people I'd be nice to you tonight, Nick.
He's making feel like, just because we gave a few pointers, he's making out as if we were bloody stabbing Ollie voodoo dolls or something. I've got a question for you all. Would you want to see Pogba stay and sign a new deal? Coggy?
No.
Why?
I've got this major dilemma with Pogba, and you know, I know, you know what Shane was saying earlier about his coming into form, and he's played well. Unless we get a proper holding midfield player so that he can push forward, then I don't think we get the best out of him. If we put him on the left, it means that Rashford has to move out. So it's where do we fit him in? So I think with the current players, I just don't think we get the best out of him. If we get either develop McTominay or have a proper holding midfield player so Pogba can push forward, then maybe yes. But, I think in sometimes it's putting a square peg in a round hole.
Shane?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, because I've wanted him gone before, but my observation is simply that when he's playing and he's on form, we play well. Our best performance is when Pogba's playing well. And I know Bruno has been does a lot of ticking over, moves the ball quicker, and I think, like, I don't know what it is, and it pains me in a way because his attitude was before, but on the form this season, I think, yeah, I'd like to see him stay if his attitude stays right, and that's a big if, I know.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that if he goes, we're even further away from the title, aren't we? Because I think trying to replace him is going to be an absolute nightmare. I think up until what he said about his articles recently and how he spoke so positively about, you know, Ole and, you know, the wonders that he's working, you know, for example, his comments on Luke Shaw and stuff, you know, people can change, and, you know, if he can change his attitude, then I think us as fans, we probably should do as well. You know, I know a few people were still scorned, for example, from Rooney with the whole transfer saga, but you know, you quickly forget about it when people start performing and they start knuckling down on the pitch. And I just know that we're far better with him than without him. And if he can keep his head wrapped, even if he plays 75% of the games for us in the season, we're far more likely to win some trophies than when he's not here. So, yeah, I probably would, yeah.
Nathan?
I agree with all that. I think, is he just being nice because he realises that no one can afford him at the moment and he's not going to go anywhere? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, would he? It's sort of a case of he knows he's not really got a choice but to stay at the moment. But that's the thing, if it means that we get the best out of him, you know, like we can't argue that he's not a very good player when he wants to perform. So if we can get that out of him, he is a match winner and he does make a difference in games. So, but are his intentions pure as to why he's there and whether he wants to stay or whether he's just not really got a choice in it? I don't know. But
I never trust.
What is Pogba's best position?
Well, he thinks it's left of the midfield. He thinks it's there, and that's what he was arguing with Jose about.
You know, if he plays there, we don't have the pace, do we, on the left hand side? We don't have Rashford there because Pogba's basically taking that role and that position. So I think we lose something by he might be his best position. But I think we lose something by having him in that position. You know, today in the second half, he was more central. And I thought he did well in the second half, to be honest. And, you know, he gave the pass to Green for his second goal and stuff like that. So I think he's good in a central position, but he has to push forward. And until we get a better defensive midfielder, you know, he doesn't get the opportunity to do that.
But I mean, like, you'd rather him there than playing when we play him deep. I just think it's pointless. I will say I'm ripped torn because I think his agent is a shitbag and he's never more than a week away from shit stirring the next thing. So, you know, like, if Pogba wants to stay, he thinks we're going to win something, which would back Nick's party. But, you know, you only keep him on if he really wants to. But it's the best season of his career. Since November, December, he's been very good. And even like today, the second goal, it was his vision, which we don't have, which is to totally do something new, switch the play. You know, something so simple we don't do enough quickly, which sets the goal up. And you think that is, you know, but I'm still always quite wary and mainly more agent-based because, you know, the Haaland thing. He's only been there a year and he wants up already. So you never... And you don't want a controversy going again. But I don't...
I was going to say, that's one thing about Haaland that I don't want to get involved in that circus of all of that. He might be a very good player, but it's just... No, I don't. I feel like we're managing to do better with the squad of who we're signing and stuff. And I feel like as much as he looks like he's a very good young player, I think that everything that will come with it is a backward step in terms of the club in the general, you know, the progress that we've made over the last couple of years.
Chicharito has just scored. Isn't that nice? I always liked him.
On the Haaland thing, you know, if you sign a player knowing full well that he's there for 3 years, but we'll get three cracking seasons out of him and maybe 25, 30 goals and accept it.
Yeah, but would it even be three years, Coggy? You know, an agent, would it even be 3 years? He's got an agent who wants to upship from a, you know, from a big European side. I know that trophies elude them, but after 1 year, it's ridiculous. For me, not that we will, because the Glazers, you know, Avram will take his 100 million, but if you get Kane, we win the league. You know, that's an Aguero presence. He will get you 30 goals a season, probably more at United. You know, but we won't. We used to. There's a chance we would have.
We won't because of Glazer Monix, and you know, I fully understand that.
But the thing,
my attitude towards Ireland is probably slightly different to most people because I understand what you're saying about him. He's only been there a year, but you know, for Haaland to be going around visiting all these clubs, right?
Yeah, he's
got to have had the agreement from Dortmund, because Dortmund will just sue every club that he's talking to. But so because it's so open.
Well, he was only ever going there in the short term, wasn't he? That was the proviso of him moving there. Yeah. He knew that was the stepping stone for a bigger move, and Dortmund knew the same thing.
And the
point is that discussing Haaland's completely irrelevant because we're not going to sign him.
No.
I think it's nice to sign him and talk. He's a natural replacement for Lewandowski. And the fact that anyone thinks he's going anywhere else, to me, I can't get my head around. Because I just think Lewandowski's 34, 35. Bayern Munich aren't daft. They like to rape and pillage from the Bundesliga. You know, they're going to do it now because we're the next manager. they're probably going to do with Haaland as well.
But this goes...
he'll go there and he'll be a dominant force.
Two points, though. I will say, you know, like, we moan about the European Super League. I just find it unedifying that a player during a season is going around these clubs. You know, there's a time and a place that certainly... So you're doing no worse than the bigger greed in the game. Yeah. And the second point, that Nick, you know, like the title challenge next year, City are going to buy either Haaland or Kane, you know, despite Pep's bollocks. So if that, it goes to the strengthening, you know, if they are going to make title-changing strength, and Liverpool will after this season, then we really, again, it goes back, the endless loop we're in, have to make three, absolutely, or two at least, outstanding signings that don't see us stagnate. Sorry, go on.
But the problem is with, you know, players of, like, Kane's age, like, all footballers to a degree are quite shallow in the sense that they either want money or they want trophies. And Kane will probably choose the one that can guarantee him that Prem, or he thinks is the closest to a Premier League medal, which is probably City, but, you know, we're honest with ourselves.
Well, it's like Van Persie. Look how inspired, you know, that one year is as good a season as you'll ever see from a striker at United. Just bought into, you can win us a title, single-handedly, you can, you know, so that's what one striker can do.
So this second place and getting as close to City as possible, as Nick's alluded to, it's really important. Even if the Glazers did splash the cash and give Ed, and Ed doesn't balls it up, you know, the players have got to want to come, and to come they want either money or they want trophies, or both. And I think Kane will be one that wants the trophies as much.
It's just sometimes when you think of the bigger picture, it just depresses you, doesn't it? You know, like, and I'm trying to be optimistic. We've had enough shit, you know, to deal with in the real world, that the United world is an escape. But sometimes if you just start thinking too much about it, it just fucking hella darkness, my old friend, as we say.
Well, that's what I was trying to say before. Yeah. It's you're finally getting some positivity on the pitch, and then something comes along like this news this evening that just brings it down again, and it's just a shame, really.
But then that's why, with Nick's positivity, you know, for Ollie's decency, I thought, fucking hell, you know, the club have almost put him out to fucking be flogged in front of Sky. That shouldn't have happened. You know, for United to buckle out of standing up and saying, look, instead of Ollie, we're putting a spokesperson, or we're putting fucking Woodward in front of the cameras to explain himself. You let Ollie, but his decency again to just like... But how sad and typical Woodward to not even let Ollie know. You know, fucking hell.
Well, I mean...
What
Ollie might say to the cameras
might be different to what... Yeah, but Coggy, I don't think Ollie has a good poker face. I think he really is. You see what you get with Ollie. He would give the game away if he fucking knew the trait, you know. Yeah. He'd give the game... But anyway, right, go on, Nick. We need...
That sounds like a negative...
Man. Yeah, fluff me.
I'm joking. In his interview, he said that he found out this morning and it didn't come out till this afternoon, you know, till the middle of the game. So I think he must have had some form of prior knowledge. I think he must have known something. I mean, to go back as well to the European Super League idea, just because I didn't say anything on it before. I mean, it's perfect for the Glazers, isn't it? You know, obviously they come from the NFL where, you know, you can't get relegated, and eventually your team's going to be great at some stage anyway. I was just thinking, just imagine if something like this had happened in South America, for example. You know, if Boca and Flamengo and Santos, you know, all these big teams in South America, they're such fan-heavy teams, they would never stand for it. And I don't understand why we need to stand for it and be pushovers for it either. But one of the things I thought of was, you know, if someone wins the Europa Super League or whatever it's going to be called, you know, will the Glazers be, you know, pushing for them to be called world champions as well? Like when someone wins the NFL, it'd be like, oh, we're the world champions of Europe, guys. You know, I just thought, oh, it'd be dreadful. You know, one of the things I thought of, though, is that we're pretty lucky in a way with that, though, is that if it does happen, I mean, I know full well I'd slag it off and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to boycott football, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I find it really difficult, I'll be honest with you, and I know that goes against a lot of the consensus. And, you know, I get Nathan's point when we were talking earlier, and he said, oh, I'll probably pack it in and I'll go and watch West Ham and Tottenham, and I totally get that. But I know full well I get suckered in. I still think Man United's my club. I still want to keep an eye on results. I'd probably still go to games. I try and do any Euro ways when I could. You know, but we're looking away because we still get City and Liverpool that come into that. Europa League with us or whatever it is, because you know, we get to have our rivals there. But look at someone, for example, like Everton. It's like, you know, most of their season and everything that they do at the moment over the last sort of 30 years has been that Merseyside derby that they've got with Liverpool, and that gets taken away from them. I'm not expecting them pulling on the heartstrings for everyone to have some, you know, pity with some Scousers or anything, but that's the kind of impact that it's got here, though, hasn't it? You know, it's like, who does Everton's rival then become? Do they have a rival with Tranmere where they play them once every 20 years where they get them in the cup? Should they do that? It's like, it's this wider impact on football that just really pisses me off.
But that's
such a lack of thought and lack of care for anybody else other than themselves.
But that's why we are addicts, you know. I'll admit, you know, this is a drug to me. But the thing, like Danny Kelly saying, you know, United fans, where are you? Well, we do stand up. But the problem is, because of that addiction, the club know they've got us over. But I maintain, Nick, you know, we may moan about fucking Burnley on a Tuesday night in January, but you don't want to just play, oh, it's Liverpool, it's City, it's Juventus again. And then you'll be, you know, there's a novelty and there's a, you know. But I did think, there was one joke where they said relegate all the clubs involved. I thought, fucking bring it on. We finally get into the second division, like, you old bastards, Coggy.
But it's like, when we get these big games in Europe against, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, they're extra special because... you know, we don't play them every week.
Yeah.
We do play, no disrespect to Burnley, you know, they gave us a good game today. But we have to sit, we have to watch those games. They're the bread and butter. Yeah. So that then we have to earn our place in league position to then go and play those big games.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them special.
Yeah, but the intention of the Super League is basically to replace the Champions League, and that's what they want.
Yeah,
they still think or want us to compete in the Premier League. It's just that there won't be a Champions League; there'll be the Super League, where obviously guaranteed clubs are there. So
yeah, but what they do,
I know that won't happen, but that's their intention.
But what they want of that, Coggy, is a reduced Premier League. Then you withdraw from the League Cup. You also play, I think, 12 of the 24 fixtures on weekends, so the league moves right to the midweek. Okay. So they're just not going to agree. You know, they're all, it's like Komodo dragons, you know, spiteful, vengeful bastards fighting over the greed that they can get. It's just fucking, you know, like, I hope by the time that everyone's listening to this, United have done a bollocks, you know, seen their asses. Oh, no, this was, you know, porky pies, or we never really were involved. Well, yes, you were. And that it's all, I don't know, just fucking, why can't they just leave us be with the game we love?
It's just so annoying, really, when you look at it and you think that we get six places in it, and you look at Spain, where Real Madrid and Barcelona have dominated so many of the Champions Leagues in recent memory, and their league only gets three, and yeah. It's like, if that doesn't sum up that it's all about the money, then I don't really know what it is. I mean, Spurs haven't won anything in 98 years.
No, but that's, as someone,
Arsenal celebrated a 90th minute equaliser against Fulham at home today. It's like,
as someone said, though, Nick,
the same level as these clubs. Do you know what I mean?
But as someone said, Nick, they know possibly that the grand order is being demolished, because Atletico Madrid hopefully are going to win the La Liga again. Juventus, you know, aren't having a great season. So the normal fours and the normal is starting to disintegrate a little bit. Juventus not going to win the Italian league. So you think maybe they're just starting to shit it. Oh, we might be a normal club. Where, you know, that's part of what football is. But for these, and as I say, you know, like, none of this is new to anyone, but the Glazers, who don't even go, who put the debt on the club, who've done such vindictive, awful things to our club, you know, you're just showing the world what you're all about, what we've known for fucking 16 years or whatever. But I don't want to, come on, let's leave, we've won 3-1, let's put it on a high. We don't want to be fucking miserable. Come on.
Yeah,
come on.
No, it's looking good. You said, I think a couple of you said you're going to the pub. I think I might look going to the pub at the semi-final. We've got pubs open. What more do you need in life now?
Normality, Old Trafford, being inside a pub so I'm not freezing my bollocks off as soon as the sun goes down.
Yeah, yeah.
Coggy smiling.
Yeah, I mean, my two youngest, they're 23 and 21, and my daughter went out partying yesterday in Manchester. My son's gone out tonight. And I'm a miserable twatter. I admit that. I'm not bothered about seeing anybody, but I'm glad for them that, you know, they're able to get out and have a bit of fun with the mates.
Have you missed us even a little bit, Coggy?
You what, mate?
Have you missed us even a little bit, though?
I've missed you always.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a sad reflection on my life when I look forward to seeing Shane in a year away.
I tell you what.
Hernandez. To me, that feels quite a way away. And just, you know, it's like, I'm saying to Paul, you know, the bed bumped into sort of shopping the other day. It's like, you know, we're actually getting giddy just to have a, like, to be able to get on the train and have some cans. That was the topic of our conversation. That's our, you know, and a year away, yeah, hopefully it's not that long away. But I think, you know, it just feels, what was normal a year ago feels, we took for granted, feels a long, long way away.
Hernandez has just scored again. So there you go. That's our striker problem for next season. I've said before about a year ago, though, what's the train etiquette? What will we do? Mask can. It's going to get fucking complicated, isn't it?
There's a concert going on in Liverpool, isn't there, in May or June, where obviously it's an open air one, but they're saying there's no social distancing and no masks required. So
there's test events, isn't it? Yeah. That's why they balanced the games there.
Oh God, can you imagine? The World
Championships got numbers of bands like the final of that's going to be a full capacity. I think they're just doing it to like test what the impacts of.
Can you imagine that concert, though? There'll be a guitar player playing those fucking Scouse songs. Oh, God, could you be it? Like, what's your choice? Do you want to be locked up for another year or do you want to go there? No, lock us down. Go on, Boris. Right, come on, Nick. You wanted the start. Let's end it. We've gone for another hour. Fucking hell. Right, come on, Nick. Hit us with that optimism stick.
No, I just wanted to mention a final point about the mag, and about how... You're lagging, Barney. Are you slagging me off?
I was saying what a wonderful idea that was, Nick.
All right, okay. I wanted to end on the final point, really, about the mag. You know, obviously, we know how much we still feel it helps and impacts everybody. You know, I know when I remember giving a mag to Gary Neville outside a game. I can't remember which game it was last season, just before, it was one or two before the derby. And everything that was in the mag and in your editorial at the start, you know, he was still discussing it on Sky and it came up the next day. And I just remember thinking, you know, maybe he does look at it. Like, you know, I still feel like we've got a voice to play in the wider football community. And I know how powerful it can be. You know, obviously he's given his time, hasn't he, before now, last season to do an interview and stuff. You know, I still think that people do read it. They still are aware of it. And we know how important it is, and I just think that, you know, if everyone can appreciate that who listens to this, that would be amazing. And I swear I don't rub it on with myself too much in the mag as well. So, you know, if you're sick of me, I'm not in there that much, so you'd be all right.
I will say, like, the club, you know, don't communicate with us, and because of us being hostile, as I've said, they ban us. But I know that they read it, so I know that from people. So in a way that we're constantly at them for these things, they are seeing it. At least, you know, like at least they know that we're there. And what I always maintain, why selling it for you lot is, you know, for you helping is important, because we stand there, a visible sign that, you know, we're just not accepting meekly all the shit that goes on. But so, as I said, like, I'm just bowled over. So if you can sign up people, you'll see it on Tuesday. And thanks for everything. We enjoy doing this podcast. So thanks for, you know, we just talk shit, but we have a laugh. And it's kept me sane. You know, sometimes I've been going bonkers during lockdown properly, you know, ups and downs like everyone. But the podcast for us, it's brought a little bit of just normality, even though I'm seeing these four ugly faces, including mine, staring at me in the pits of despair. But thank you, you lot, for keeping me a bit, keeping the link united.
I look at the mag in a way, like a fanzine, and, you know, I'm sure it goes across other clubs too. It's the one, like, at a time when we talk about all this bullshit of, you know, the money and the European Super League, the kind of mag in a way keeps it a bit grounded for me, and it's like the one thing I look back on and think, well, that still represents football that I started falling in love with years ago, etc. So I think fans do have it, probably should be more relevant than ever, really, at the moment, to counter some of the dross that's going on. But yeah, I think it's really important that clubs, not just United, all clubs, you know, have some sort of representation that represents the match-going fans and other fans around elsewhere that can't always get to game. But yeah, I think it's really important.
We'd better stop because no one likes a bit of self-love. I once saw, when I was on a United Euro away, I once saw a picture of that in an Amsterdam set shop, and that horrified me. So that's, I'm sure there's a term for it, but when a man can on himself, can I put that in a polite? Sorry, what the fuck have I just ended this?
About you than us going on about the band team that you just got, like, made that segue into a bloke giving to a blowjob. Me just saying the band team's a good representation of that culture. You just turned that into a man being able to give himself a blowjob. This is incredible.
I need to go to sleep. I've not missed these hangovers, I have to say. Right, thank you all. Glory, glory, Man United people. Cheers, lads. See you next week. See ya.